And roll tape here.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality. A being no larger than an ordinary man, but possessed of powers and abilities never before realized on Earth. Able to leap into the air an eighth of a mile at a single bound. Hurdle a 20-story building with ease. Race a high-powered bullet to its target. Lift tremendous weights and rend solid steel in his bare hands as though it were paper. A strange visitor from a distant planet, champion of the oppressed, physical marvel extraordinary, who has sworn to devote his existence on Earth to helping those in need.
Up in the sky, look, it's a bird, it's a plane.
It's time for the Chico Show.
We knew that.
We knew that.
We knew that was coming.
Heck yeah.
We knew that was coming.
Rocking. That was an intro from K-Man.
Hey, thanks, K-Man.
I love it when these people do this.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can they do the show for us, too?
You're on.
Apparently so.
Yeah, this is great. This is super. Well, here it is. What is today? About 18th. The 18th.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm back from Colorado.
Surprising but true.
Surprising but true. I got to... In case anybody here on the Jimmy Jones Show doesn't realize, I spent a day out there with Gene and the crowd at the Hangar Dogs.
Yep.
Hangar Dogs.
And we did a show.
Yep.
It was a good show, I thought.
And no word on where Pinky is, huh?
No. Well, no. We get pictures, of course. We got one of him passed out someplace. And then they sent me a picture of a bank robber that apparently might have been Pinky. I don't know. Nobody knows. They got a picture of him.
Go to HangarDogs.com or the Jimmy Jones site, because it's on there, too. I posted this show up there, too, as well. Thought it was pretty good.
It was. I'm telling you, Gene, of course, they're just the fabulous people, because Stitch and Gene were in the studio with me. There are three of us, and then K-Man called in. We got a lot of things done, but we do have some new stuff. It's only been about a week, I guess, since we did that show.
Right.
And
so there's plenty more stuff. But we got people coming in. Peoria, Illinois, coming through. I just want to give a shout out a couple of these places. Panama City Beach, Florida. I love it. New York.
I did want to. Are we gonna send one of those envelopes, letter bomb or something to Bart, the soon to be counselor, because he traitored.
The traitor
because he went over to Hangar Dogs.
Nah, he's just supporting both camps.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. He's seeing who's going to win in the end.
That's right.
He's playing both sides.
Easy. He does $100 to both Republicans and the Democrats.
Democrats, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. God love you.
And hello from Hawaii also, or to Hawaii.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, that's very good.
Of course.
I haven't even looked where. I noticed that our hits went way up as soon as the Hangar Dogs thing got posted, so people are waiting around. Anyway, there are things to talk about since then. Mm-hmm. The trip back was eventful, as usual.
Right.
Came back with Mrs. Jimmy and...
Welcome back, Jimmy.
Yeah, and her mom. And, of course, 96 years old... Creek. Yeah, she knew everything. And we have the Lincoln in the shop repairing the floorboard in the back seat where she
stomped the brake. Fred Flintstone style all the way through.
Yeah,
huh?
That's for sure. And we're getting ready. Jimmy's getting ready to drive out to Kansas City here this next week.
For my super geek fest.
The Apple IIe Geek Fest. That's gonna be quite the show. But anyway, in the meantime. We've had some things come up. A couple of things. One was Al Gore has indicated that we're all doomed.
He's still on the doom.
Let me tell you something. I thought it was interesting. There was an article. I don't have it here, from the APS. This is the Association of Physics Specialists or something, and they have finally come out. This is apparently a fairly reputable organization, and they said, this global warming thing. I don't think so.
Right.
And so
I've even seen some more global cooling things start to pop up.
Well, no, right. Myth of consensus explodes. APS opens global warming debate as if it ever went away. Considerable presence of skeptics. Anyway, they've gone through a whole bunch of mathematical stuff. They said, this is BS. I mean, this is not happening. The sun gets brighter and not so brighter and on and on and on about the whole thing. And, of course, this whole global warming thing is fairly new. But Al Gore, as we've often said many times, if your livelihood, and, of course, got the Global Warming Peace Prize or something like that, mm-hmm. If your livelihood or ego depends on a mythology, you'll move heaven and earth to stick with that mythology rather than the truth. And one of the things that he's come out with, he wants to have the same kind of plan we had that Kennedy did, trying to get on his dead coattails.
Which, by the way, is the university.
And the, well, Kennedy, you know, came out and said that by the end of the decade, we can put a man on the moon. While Al Gore says in 10 years, we want to cut our emissions, you know, our fossil fuel emissions to zero in the United States. Zero. I mean, we're not talking about, can you imagine? I mean, he wants to have totally renewable energy in the United States in 10 years. I mean, talk about somebody, talk about something that's virtually impossible. I can tell you, Jimmy rode around.
Why don't they just, why don't they just fire up some of the lithium crystals?
That's a thought. We thought about that, and they're hard to come by, and they're expensive. The thing we did, I did come across.
You didn't buy, you got outbid on eBay for that.
I got outbid on eBay.
And damn.
It's really a shame. But coming back, we did drive by a couple of wind farms.
Right.
Huge. I mean, you can't imagine. I didn't realize how these things, I got pictures of them. We'll post those. Okay. No.
Put a link to it.
Yeah, put a link to it. Right. There, these things are...
Yeah, no Jack Rhodes here today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You can tell right now.
That's right. It's just
it's a perfect spot for him to jump in. Actually, I bet we can get Jack Rhodes on the phone.
We might.
Let me make an attempt at that and continue on,
we'll
Jimmy.
We'll see if he calls in. Anyway, the wind farms that we saw were these blades. The blades alone on these things are like 80, 90, 100 feet. You know, they're tri-bladed items that turn at, I don't know, it looks like maybe... 20 RPM or something like that, generating electricity. And there is a town now, a town of about 2,300 that gets all its energy. I've seen in the paper from wind. But the fact is, it can't happen. It just cannot happen.
Right.
Now way too much invested in the fossil fuels. I mean, can you imagine the capital expense of all those places being shut down? You know, Deerhaven out here being shut. I mean, it's not going to happen. This to me.
Well, again, technology will find a cure.
Well, not only that, the pricing of it will find, we're talking about, it's interesting, they were talking about oil at $200 a barrel. It crossed it up near 150. It's dropped down now to like 130 or 120,
right.
And it continues to drop. Kramer's calling for it to go to 110. I mean, the market figures all this stuff out. And of course, it's stunning when you realize what the government's getting involved in this stuff. I see that, Schumer. Chuck Schumer, who probably independently closed down the Indy Bank in California by his screaming, you know, calling for a run on that bank, and he says, "Oh no, it wasn't me. I was just the messenger," and you know, everybody else decided to line up. But that notwithstanding, the simple fact is that Schumer wants to. I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about the
train?
No, the oil price. The oil price.
Right.
Okay.
The oil price. The simple fact is that the market will figure this out, and as oil prices go to $200, $300, $400 a barrel, there will be other places that people will figure all this stuff out. And of course, I'm glad to see that the APS people here, the myth of consensus explodes, APS opens global warming debate, and so forth and so on. I'm glad to see that's coming along, and I predict that in 10 years, in Al Gore's 10 years, that they'll be probably doing the global cooling thing again, and oil prices will have figured out, the market will figure it all out. It's just stunning to me how these people figure that they're smarter than the market. Of course, what Schumer does, he wants to close down, quote, the speculators. Now, we've talked about this before, how speculators cannot. And people don't understand how valuable speculators are.
Well, it was amazing because the last show we talked about this. You did the speculator rant and telling people how that keeps the prices in check. And then all of a sudden, literally, it wasn't 2 days after our last show, the Wall Street Journal came out with something.
Right.
It was all over the news.
They all
you know, everybody
well, one
emailed
of the
hangar dogs.
Realize.
They'll say, Jimmy's all totally cracked.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, one of the things that people don't realize, and I failed to mention this on the last show, and let me just tell you that speculators are a zero-sum game. For everybody that bids that the price of oil is going to go up, there's a person on the other side that bets that it's going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those people is going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so what they talk about is the guy who won, who happened to bet right, who won the crap game, who won the roulette wheel, and they never tell you about all the people that lost their money. And this is what evens out the thing. I mean, it's so funny. Why are you sitting there complaining about a guy that made a couple of million dollars in the forward futures market when on the other side of the coin, there were probably dozens of people that lost their ass.
Right.
And they're not complaining.
Right.
They realize the name of the nature of the game. But it doesn't affect the price because they're betting on prices 6, 8, 10, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years in the future.
Right.
And even people bet on interest rates 30 years in the future. I mean, if you look right now, you go to CNBC or whatever it is, across the top, it'll say the 5-year note, the 10-year note, and the 30-year note is currently at 4.68%. There are people out there betting that it's going to be 10%, there's people betting that it's going to be zero. Half of those people are going to lose. At a minimum, but half of people are going to lose their ass. And it's just funny to me when you talk about a speculator, it is only about the winners. This horrible envy thing that gets in there. Here's a guy that gambled and happened to win the roulette. You know, he bet on 36. 36 came up. But what about all the people that bet on 1 through 35? Right. They lost.
Right.
And so on its face.
Well, look, a lot of people don't know what speculation is.
Speculation is the rawest form of gambling. It is gambling. It is exactly like going to Las Vegas. And in fact, there's a house take. In other words, when you buy or sell a contract on the futures market, the broker gets, you know, $10, $15, $20, whatever it is, each time you, so that guy wins every time, no matter what the bet is.
Right.
But the simple fact is it is a zero sum game, different from equities. The stock market, in a stock market, of course, you can have a bubble where the money's not real. But basically, there are companies that do grow. They earn actual money. And everybody that invests or buys a share of a particular company can be a winner. Everybody can be a winner.
Not in the ones I invest in.
Well, it may be. But, I mean, it's possible. It's possible if you invest in the right. So that's the deal.
Yeah, well, like we've always said, you know, if you don't like how much money the oil companies are making, buy oil company.
Right. Exactly. And right now, for instance, you can pull down 5 or 6 or 7% on your money, whatever it is, depending on some of these companies that are paying that kind of a yield.
Right.
And not to say they'll ever do it forever. But again, that's one of the things that you can do if you always buy Shell gasoline. Why don't you buy up some shares of Shell stock and they'll pay you back?
Well, and again, like, you know, I read this, you know, CR4 Science Digest every day, this email letter, and I mean, there's a company that just came out with this printer, you know, talking about rapid prototyping printer type stuff, and they're printing solar cells onto this tape like thing. And
I heard they're going to paint them on walls.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to cost them like a quarter a foot. And yeah, that thing pulls out like a half a double A battery, but it's like it costs you a quarter a foot. You know, you just keep rolling the stuff out. They said,
exactly,
like within 2 years. I mean, it's like you could do, you know, how many solar panels do you want? Where do you want them? You know,
right.
we'll print this sucker out, and they're only going to get more efficient. So, you know, I mean, whatever.
No, that's right, and that is part of the key, because we've had solar power both in hot water and in solar cells,
right,
for 30 or 40 years now,
mm-hmm.
But in the old days, it would cost you, you know, in 1970 or something, you want to put up even a hot water solar system, it was thousands and thousands of dollars, and the payoff on it was like never.
Right.
And so this is what the market figures out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wakes up and all economics is on the margin.
Jimmy, we need an energy czar.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we need one guy figures out what 280 million people in the United
really
States.
A really smart
the best
guy.
Thing
yeah.
For,
yeah. A really well, smart guy.
Really smart.
Really
president, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
These guys have. And, I mean, of course, that was. Oh,
some guy whose name rhymes with whore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That guy. Yeah. Well, I mean, what is so funny about it, and I've seen this before, because apparently some of these guys, the guys on CNBC, the anchors, they must have the same people, and they don't update their speed dialers. They get the same people on day after day after day, even though they've been proven so wrong, many times.
But see, they pitch them, because they can say, well, they've been on NBC 27 times.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
they were wrong 26 of the times, but, you know. But
maybe this time will be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's... Oh, we stole their chicken.
Yeah, I just noticed.
Oh, my God. Too bad, Hanger Dogs. Got your chicken. Oh,
what'd
my
you do? God. You bag him, you put him in your mom's purse.
They didn't even notice. You know, I snuck out of there when they weren't looking. Honest to God. Hoofed it out of there with the chicken. That's right. Had to duct tape his beak up. But we got him. That's
so, right. Yeah. So, global warming.
Yeah, what I'm going to be interested to see is, because this brings up another point I'm going to go into, and that was Jesse Jackson the other day was on.
Oh my God.
And he, you know, we'll say this in all, it's funny that I should say this, but you can't use the word, but he used the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He used the N-word, and he's talking about cutting somebody's nuts off. And
it was like N-word.
A brother, you know. Right. And I'm thinking, who, what, do they still have this guy on? I mean, here's a guy who is a philanderer, has a kid out of wedlock, you know, whatever. I mean, just, he's...
Well, who talks like that? I mean, that's Nixon talk. You know?
Honest to God. And Al Sharpton comes along and says, well, I don't think that was such a great idea. I mean, I'm going like, shut up.
Wasn't it? It was Jesse Jackson who called for the comedians to be fined after Michael Richards went on that rant at the Laugh Factory.
Exactly. I mean, and this to me, I look at this the same kind of thing. This is when person's livelihood, ego, whatever it is, that, you know, they had the thing, as you know, about, what, about a month ago when Tim Russert died. There was the moaning and groaning and, you know, the consecration of Tim Russert and so forth. And we talked about this, that I didn't think it was all that great. I mean, here's a guy who was on the air for 35 or 40 years interviewing people, never got the message that these guys were all liars. You know, he might have asked the hard questions, but he always accepted the soft answers. Well, Tony Snow died the other day. He died, you know, like a couple days ago. And there's been, you know, on Fox News, of course, because that's where he was, but there's not been the outpouring that there was for Tim Russert, because Tony Snow was a conservative. So, you know, needless to say, the consecration, or whatever you want to call it all appeared on, there was some on Fox News, and I think the president might have said, because he was a presidential spokesperson. So obviously they had to do that. But basically, the rest of he was ignored other than that. But even so, even those people, when I look at all those people and I think, here are people in the news. They've been interviewing people for 20 and 30 and 40 years. They've interviewed everybody. Of course, the same people, you know, Tom Daschle and all these other, Jesse Jackson, Donna Brazile, you know, what's his name, Carvel, all of them for years and years and years. They get the same answers. And I just wonder, how do they realize after they've interviewed this guy 20 or 30 times over 15 years and things are getting worse and things have gotten worse because of what they've done.
Put him on Bill Riley's show, man.
Well, Bill Riley, I don't know. He's you know, he doesn't. Some of those people, I'm not real crazy about him either. He's got some basic.
Well, he's good at calling them on stuff. The problem is that his own personal philosophy is so conservative.
It overrides. Right. He doesn't think scientifically.
No, he doesn't. No. That's the problem. And he's got some irrational beliefs that unfortunately taint what he has to.
Oh, yeah.
I've read his books, and I'll tell you, I've read them all, actually. And
dang,
I got them in the other room here. But I mean, there's at least one of the books, I'll have to dig it out. On about page 20, he comes up with one of the basic premises that he believes in. And I'm going like, whoa, you know, that the earth is flat or something. I don't know what it is.
Right. Well, like he hates all immigrants. And,
yeah, right.
He's super xenophobic.
And so does Lou Dobbs. Glenn Beck is the same way.
Yep, yep.
You know, people like Glenn Beck. But here's a guy who's talking about, you know, building a, you know, King Kong wall around the country, for God's sakes.
Right.
I'm just literally.
King Kong
No,
wall.
I mean, seriously. And manning it with, you know, 50 cal
right,
and everything,
right,
as
right,
we've talked about
right,
before.
Right.
I give it a week before those 50 cals are turned around on us. I mean, it happens all the time. And the same wall that keeps people out keeps people in.
Well, I mean, you think about it. If you're up there and you're working the turret and you got a gun and you got all this ammo and nobody's coming in from one side, you got to shoot somebody.
And you're a guy.
I mean, give me a break.
What do guys do?
You got to shoot something.
No, I mean,
what would K-Man do?
What would K-Man do?
No, I mean, seriously, what would K-Man do? If you are sitting on a 40-foot wall, okay, here's the deal. You're on a 40-foot wall, okay? Okay, you got this? And you've got a 50 cal with unlimited ammo. And you're a guy.
Range of 1,000 yards.
What do you do? Do you just... And they sit there and they say, "Don't fire until you see an enemy person."
Right.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you start like Twilight Zone. You turn into an enemy. Well, he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. That's kind of close to Japan. you know,
it was Bigfoot.
It was daylight, and he started to squint, and he
that's right,
a little funny.
Well, and he was wearing a bear costume,
right?
and there was another guy wearing an elk costume. I mean, you can't believe these guys what they try and get in here, you know?
I know it was Halloween.
And there was a guy wearing a squirrel costume. Blowed him away. No, that you could just imagine what would be happening with that kind of stuff.
It's exactly. You gotta use the toys, man.
Yeah, no, and I just, you know, there's no question about it. I love the toy. I was watching. Speaking of that, I was watching on Discovery Channel the other day. They were talking about How It's Made.
Yeah,
They were talking about steel.
That's a great show.
Oh, it's fabulous. They're talking about steel.
Mm-hmm.
And they had. I didn't realize this, but the different kinds of steel and the hardened for armor plated vehicles. And they talked about the difference in armor plating between the regular Brinks truck. You know, the one that runs around
right.
that looks like it's all armored.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it'll stop like a 22
right.
and stuff like that. So then they had the ones that our local SWAT teams use.
Yeah.
Did you know that thing weighs 18 tons?
Really?
No, I'm sorry. 12 tons. It weighs 12 tons.
Well, there's a big difference.
And let me tell you, it will repel anything up to a
howitzer?
No, a
50 cal
or RPG.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, but I mean, and they were talking about, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, let me get this straight. Here you are transporting money around, you know, millions of dollars in this thing now, and the SWAT team who's getting ready to go over and do some drug dealer, maybe the little old lady, 96 years old, who, you know, we found a bag of cocaine in the house next door 2 weeks ago, and we're going to go bust the shit out of this place, you know?
Right.
Okay, they need this vehicle, 12 tons,
right?
With armor plating that would, you know, repel almost anything, you know, a meteorite.
Right.
And I'm thinking...
A meteorite.
No, I mean, really, give me a break.
Yeah.
If it were up to me, rationally, you would reverse them.
Right.
You know, because the... But we got to protect.
There you go, being rational.
Well, there you go again. Give me that damn logic.
Well, see, I always thought like it'd be kind of fun to get like one of those electromagnetic pulse guns and get up in a helicopter, you know, and you're cruising around, and you fire the electromagnetic pulse gun down at the Brinks truck, and you blow this magnet down, and you bring up the Brinks truck to like, I don't know, 10,000 feet or something, drop it off, and then not only does it alleviate the occupants, but it opens it up for you. And then you just land the helicopter, pull all the money, and then go away. Sure. But, I mean, again, that's
drop it from 100 feet.
Yeah, probably... right. Well, maybe a little bit more than that. But, yeah, so in other words, you know, not that any Jimmy Dolan listener would ever do that, but there's
well,
an
you
idea.
Know, there is a bird that does that with clams.
It's a good movie script.
Yeah, it's a great movie script.
Okay, well,
I love the future. I want the other guys. Bender does not advocate the cool crime of stealing.
Well, are they gonna do any more of that?
Yes. Well, I just saw
they're going to do a new movie.
One. Well, I just saw the second movie the other day. I thought it was fine.
Well, no.
And then there's two more coming out.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But the half-hour show's history?
For right now.
Yeah, that's too bad, because that was...
You never know.
That was always a good thing.
And they you know, whatever, unearthed George Lucas to do more Star Wars stuff, so, you know.
Well, I think he already had a lot of that planned. I mean, certainly if you start off with number four, he certainly had an idea for one, two,
and
three.
Yeah, but it took him a while to get the other
one. Yeah, I understand that. You know? I understand that. But a lot of it, you know, if you're a perfectionist, you know, that's one of those things.
Well, actually, two quick digressions here. If I can find my mosquito music.
they couldn't find theirs.
Yeah, there you go. All right, yeah. First of all, the steel thing. I thought it was fascinating when they made the samurai sword steel.
Yes.
That was insane.
And the guy was local.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah.
You gotta see that one. It was just absolutely incredible about how much superior the samurai swords were to any other sword. And he shows exactly why and how it does. That was on How It's Made or something like that, one of those shows.
Right.
And then, the other one, totally forgot.
Well, what do you mean as far as this?
We'll get back to that digression.
Yeah,
I thought it would be, thought it was interesting to find out how long iron and steel and everything had been around. You know,
been around
in the
while.
Egyptian times. And of course, it was a trade secret and all that kind of stuff. But can you imagine folding a piece of steel? They watched it, you know, folding this steel like 100 times or something.
Yep. 200, 100 times.
Yeah, and the blade is like, you know, what is it? A half inch thick at the top, and you know, it goes to nothing.
But it's the taper of it, and it goes. Yeah. It's got like an obelisk taper or something weird, you know, on there.
Unbelievable. And where do you get these swords? I mean, you know, they have them on TV for $50.
Nah, not the real.
Not
ones.
Quite. No. Probably
you,
not
you
the real.
You can get a good one,
one
for about $1,500.
Is that right?
Yeah. A real nice one. They
now
still
you
make
were
them
over there.
Hand.
How come you didn't bring one back?
Not that anybody knows of. That's right. now you know what that's one of their preserved art forms. They've got about 7 national art forms over there.
Right, the national treasures.
Totally preserved, like that one. The box making, the pot growing, or the hemp and
origami.
Yeah, exactly. Origami's one of them, and there's a couple more that you probably know of.
Probably the tea ceremony.
The Cutco knife company makes really good knives.
Yeah, Cutco. Well, they have the Ginsu.
Yellow. Oh man!
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's 100 knives for $5.
Right.
No, can't do better.
Well, I mean, that goes back to the other digression of the engineers and the business people trying to decide on how to build a pen, the perfect pen, and the business people come up with like a big pen. And then the engineers come up with like this pressurized thing. It costs like $20,000.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, the works in space, works underwater, everything.
Works in space.
You know, the thing is that's like the Ginsu. It's like, hell, they're so cheap. Who cares if it dulls eventually? You better just throw the thing away and get a new one.
Yeah, well, you know? The thing is that they are fabulous. I mean, they use samurai steel in them or something. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, they had samurais in their commercials.
Samurai plastic.
So it's got to be true.
Yeah, it's got to be true, right?
The sumo plastic. hey, did you guys see? I mean, this is something the other day that came up. I want to bring up.
Okay.
The other day, I ordered a sandwich, and the FDA was in my sandwich.
What?
I'm not kidding. I ordered a sandwich, and there was an FDA agent in my sandwich.
Said no tomatoes?
No tomatoes!
No tomatoes!
Man, I mean, you know, 1,200 people get sick in 42 states, and they blocked the sale of millions of people's tomatoes.
Well, we had this. Remember when they...
That they just lifted that ban, like, today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you... Of course, that was the same thing that happened a couple years ago when they found a couple people, Jack in the Box,
got meat.
Right. And one company went out of business because they, you know, withdrew 70 million tons of beef or something, threw it in the trash.
Give me
a break.
Yeah.
Honestly,
they threw their meat in the trash and the moon shifted its orbit.
Boy, and their mad cow, they were all, people are, I'm sitting there thinking, when you think about getting the flu, how many, you know, there were like 10,000 or 12,000 or 15,000 people last year that got the flu. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, three people get a little salmonella sickness. Nobody dies.
Right.
And suddenly, it's $1 billion down the goddamn toilet.
Right.
Let me put it this way. If a terrorist, and literally down the toilet, if a terrorist wanted to do something, you don't have to fly a plane into the Twin Towers. I mean, you just throw a little salmonella around.
Yeah, no.
And you put everybody out of business.
Yeah, a little E. coli.
A little E. coli, yeah.
Man,
That's what, let me tell you, I wouldn't be sitting there with the anthrax or the smallpox or anything like that. It'd be a little... A little of the flesh-eating bacteria, the E. coli, and I mean, you would scare the people would just stay
FDA
inside.
FDA shut down United States.
Yeah, And let me tell you, they're getting that far. I was watching the C-SPAN, and I never realized how many people are in the non-productive business of think tanking. It is stunning to see when they introduce these. It's not always Cato. Or the Heritage Foundation. There are millions of them.
No, there's not millions. There's really not. I mean, there's like 10,000 or something.
Really?
Yeah.
But I mean, there are. Well, I mean, when I was out in Nevada, at Utah, there was one, the Sutherland Institute.
Well, hey.
They do things, but I mean, they don't really produce anything. Well,
uh-oh.
I have a feeling I know who this is.
I have a feeling that might be. Let's see. See if he comes in.
Who could it be?
No. Oh, my God.
Jack Roach signing in.
Oh, yeah, right. Jack Roach show. Right. Always top notch. Yeah,
always top notch. That's always good.
Yeah.
That's right, it's the Jack Rhodes show.
Jack Rhodes calls in.
As always, from my international destination, which no one knows.
That's right. Well, you have a secret. You got one of those phone cards with no name on it, so that and it burns after you use it in the payphone.
Yeah,
positively. The whole phone melts.
That's right.
And then your phone melts.
That's right.
Is our phone going to melt?
I don't. Probably.
Yeah, probably. So what's up, Jack?
Oh, doing great as always. Of course, caught up in Obama craziness. The N-word is flying all over the airwaves.
Okay. Oh, okay. The guy goes, but
your blick.
Yeah,
you people
just
are starting to realize that. You know, Whoopi Goldberg, I don't know if you've seen all of those.
Yeah, I saw that on The View.
Oh, I didn't see Whoopi. What was that all about?
Oh, man.
Not on The View.
Yeah, on The View.
No, not live.
Like, yeah. That one girl, Elizabeth, was in tears just crying as they were going
what?
Back and forth. Oh, yeah.
Hasselbeck?
Oh, we'll have to post a link.
Wait, you post a link. Right, thanks,
yeah.
Jack. Jack did send me that link.
Let me get this straight. Because hasn't Whoopi put her in tears before?
I don't know.
Or at least, or maybe, Whoopi's what's her name? Rosie did, maybe.
At least in a headlock.
So let me ask you. So, I mean, what was that on the show?
That was the show.
Oh, no.
They were bleeping it out and everything.
Oh, they bleeped it.
Well,
they bleeped it all 11 times she said it in an 18-second clip.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can use the N-word because I'm an N and on and on.
our sensor's not fast enough for you, Jack.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what did Babwa have to say about that?
Oh, Babwa was trying to mitigate. You know, she was trying to collect everybody.
Calm down.
What about Joy Behar or whatever? What's she? I mean, she's the comedian.
Well, the real one was the other African-American woman on stage, other than Whoopi, also had some attitude with Barbara Walters.
We call that tood.
Yeah, tood. She was doing a little chicken necking, you might say.
Chicken?
What's chicken?
Chicken necking.
Like this, when you
know.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm watching.
At least Counselor Curtis knows what. Well, Jimmy is like so out of it. Yeah.
What does that mean? Okay. I got you.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's what it means.
So anyway, what was the upshot of all this? Did it make the news or what?
Oh, big time. Yeah, Jimmy's been asleep for the last couple of days.
Jimmy's been on the road. Jimmy's been like, no. Jimmy rode back.
He's been in a sensory deprivation tank.
6 days on the road with Grandma.
Gemini capsule.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, this is screaming through the megabyte airwave. This is all fresh news. You know, always ahead of the curve, Jimmy.
Yeah.
So, which reminds me, did you get my email about the new coin?
Yes, I loved it. Oh, my God, they were great.
I know people will have to go back to 1998 to see how ahead of the curve we were.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah. I want to see a new
We were like
on it.
So ahead of the curve. I mean, can you imagine 10 years ahead of the curve?
Yeah. Well, I'll have to post the pictures and the clip from 10 years ago. It's going to be all weekend mix for the E-Train, I can tell you right now.
Make it more work for yourself.
Well, I've also got to put, I put a bunch of Jimmy Shorts up on the web.
Oh, check out JimmyDone.com.
I wasn't saying about selling them on eBay. I was talking about clips. Short clips. That's what I meant to say.
On the web.
But I got to add a menu item for it right now. Right now it's.
Yeah, if you go to the Jimmy Done site, you can't find them.
Yeah.
So
they're conveniently here.
But they're there.
Don't go there.
Yeah. No, they're there. Then you go to jimmydone.com/shorts.
.html.
.html.
Yeah.
Great.
And
hey, so another thing I wanted to mention was this crazy thing we have going here locally here in North Central Florida about this goodpolicyforyou.com, I believe, is the website. And Councilor Curtis can chime in on this, give us a little. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is basically where they made it so that if you're a transsexual, you can still use the women's bathroom.
Well, we talked about that a long time ago.
That was ages ago.
But there were people out there protesting it on the corner the other day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a hot topic. They're bringing it up again. There's this website pushing, you know, to try to get it reversed. As always, we'll post a link.
Did you listen to the Hanger Dog Show?
I have not listened to it yet.
Oh, you've got to. You're on the show a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard it was a crazy one.
It was a great show. But everybody was sitting there taking all your stuff. I mean, K-Man calls it and says, we'll post a link to that.
Our webmaster's good. A lot of links.
you got to be good to keep up with Engineer Eric, so I have no fear.
Well, it was interesting that you mentioned this. Of course, the what they talk about here as far as the lesbo, whatever it is, thing that they're, because some girl came in it during the after the city commission has been having a meeting all week on trying to work about the budget, which is just a joke. I mean, I watched enough of it to be, you know, throw up only a couple of times. But at the end, they have a citizen comment, and this girl walks in, and she's talking about how some naked man had walked in the bathroom with her little girl or something. Yeah, exactly. Well, it turned out it was out in the county, and, you know, of course, the city ordinance doesn't have any precedence. You know, you need to call the police, and we don't, you know, she was all upset. She obviously wanted somebody to go do something about it. But speaking of that, what I did watch was the budget here for Lacho County, $200 million, whatever it is, and they have to cut.
They slashed the budget and returned a bunch of money?
Not quite. I'll tell you, I have seen some chicken poops in my day, some people that were just chicken to do anything. But you talk about when they came up with a list of things, the Becky What's-Her-Face, Roundtree or whatever.
He's not talking about you.
No, not about you. But she came up with a bunch of things that, you know, could possibly be cut. Boy, I'm telling you, you'd have thought you were cutting off their dicks. I mean, it was just unbelievable. They said, well, no, we can't.
Let's see.
Everything was valuable. No, I mean,
we can cut some of the children's hands off and cut down on their writing of pencils.
What is amazing to me is how they set their, like, they had one item. Now, this, I understand, it's a $200 million budget, okay, and they're going through practically line item by line item. Of course, the budget is like a stack of snakes. I mean, there's like 1,000 snakes. You can't tell where one head begins and the tail ends. Right. They're all intertwined. It is a nightmare to figure out a city budget. As you would expect, they're different because there's no profit and loss statement. But what I found interesting was they come up with something that was like $50,000 last year. Some grant or something like that. And they proposed cutting it to $25,000. Well, you'd have thought, now this is a $200 million budget. They sent, 15, 20 minutes arguing about this how valuable this was and how it was good for the quality of the community. And I'm thinking,
right. Because if they argue that in 15, 20 minutes, then they can't get to stuff like the useless library.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, the point is,
it's like a filibuster
there,
against Jimmy.
Well, I'm thinking, my whole point was, it's a filibuster. I almost got out of bed and went down there to talk to him.
Oh, I thought you meant get out of bed.
There wasn't any chicks hot enough down in the.
No, not chicks hot enough. And I'm not sure they would let me in. But I mean, what I thought was thinking. I have noticed the
Clouseau style disguises you have in your room now, the different mustache and beard. And,
yeah, they're right. No, you can't.
Trench coat.
That's right.
Well, no, I'm coming in to say something.
So anyway, but I thought to myself, if $25,000 is going to make such a difference in the quality of life of Gainesville out of $200 million budget, what they should do, rather than cut that particular thing, is to fund it at, $50 million or something. I mean, if it's going to make that much of a difference, if you could double the quality of life, if it's going from 50,000 to 25,000, is going to ruin the quality of life in Alachua County. I say, instead of 50,000, make it 500,000.
Oh, Jimmy.
Chit-chit.
You're asking for it.
And that way you can have 10 times the quality of life in game.
Hey, right. Hey, wow, that's some crazy. Well, listen, I'm sorry I couldn't make it in the studio tonight.
You're sick.
Yeah, it's craziness.
Hey, Jack.
I'm always on the run, but I'll be checking in soon. Well, I'm going to go back and listen to the Hanger Dogs, give a big shout out to them.
Hey, Jack, before you go.
We got one issue. You saw that the Girl Scouts had all the pot busted on their property?
Oh, yeah, saw about that, yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, you got to love that. So you know they have the Scouts working for them, right?
Well, not only that, was it Engineer Eric that wrote in and said that we're trying to get a way to sell more cookies?
that was Stitch. He goes, can you imagine the cookie sales?
Yeah, I mean, really.
Oh, I went out looking for boxes right then.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about it. Can you imagine what would happen if you laced a couple of boxes, find your prize in here? I mean, well, not only that, I mean, you sell them the pot first, and then you come up and you say, would you like to buy one or two, three dozen boxes of Girl Scout cookies?
One pallet?
One pallet, right. I mean, the girls.
Well, you know they have the work camp going, and every 10 plants harvested, they got an agriculture badge.
Yeah, right, exactly. What kind of a badge is that? You can imagine what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, 7 points, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, well, I'm signing off. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, all right, Jack.
You got it.
All right, bye.
Speaking of that, did I mention that today in history, in 1969, was Mary Jo Kopechne died?
Oh.
Yeah, it's really a shame.
So she be like, what, 75 now or something?
Well, 1969 to 2009, 40 years. She was, what, 20-something when she died or something? Mm-hmm. So she'd be in her 60s. But, I mean, and Ted Kennedy's still running around with brain surgery.
Hey.
Okay, yeah, well. So, anyway, I thought that was disappointing because I saw when you see what Ted Buddy is doing to our country, with all due respect, the wrong person died in that car accident. Okay.
Oh, sure.
Actually, with no respect.
Hey,
there
did
is
you
no
see?
Due respect.
Speaking of no respect, did you see that the new surveillance bill passed?
I did actually happen to notice that. I walked past.
Yeah, I mean, not big news, I mean, here they are. I mean, they're passing a bill, basically to eliminate the Fourth Amendment, and yet, it barely makes the paper.
Well, what I was wondering was along those same lines, of course, we talked a little bit about this on Hanger Dogs, was the Scalia opinion on the guns, and immediately Washington D.C. comes out and says, no, we're going to change. You still got to register. You got to do everything. We still don't want you to, like a poll tax or something. Literacy test, gun.
Well, you got to figure if they had enough votes to pass the outright ban, they're going to get all the votes they need to pass the partial ban, which is what the Supreme Court said you could still do. That is to say, you could still require trigger locks and taking it apart. Actually, no, I think taking it apart, they said, that pretty much destroys it as a gun. But, at least there are lots of things, you know, keep the bullets in another room or, you know.
Under lock and key, swallow them first. And...
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, to me, I mean, if you can't have one sitting there, you know, one in the chamber, then, I mean, half its usefulness is gone.
Well, the most of the usefulness is, even if you don't have one in the chamber, is that clicking sound that it makes.
Yeah, man.
That's something that...
That'll
stop a lot of people.
Perpetrator, man.
Yeah, that'll stop a lot of people, so I don't have a problem with that. But I was going to make a comment on the first thing you said before I digressed.
The surveillance bill,
right. One of the things that you do find that is always lovely and always a pleasure, and that is once there's nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. And once this law is now in effect, if you think that the terrorist threat is ever going to go away or that the surveillance on American citizens is going to get any less in the future, you're dreaming.
Yeah, now this,
can you imagine the founding fathers, and you sit there and you say, well, okay, you just wrote the Constitution here, and you got the first 10 amendments and so forth, and oh, by the way...
You didn't mean four.
You didn't mean that you couldn't go in and open anybody's mail, listen in on all their conversations,
right?
And use it against them, or, you know, in trial or what. I mean, it's stunning to me to think that how far we've come down the totalitarian type.
This was a big leap. I mean, now we're literally at the point where, I'm just telling you this, if you are making phone calls outside of the United States, to outside the United States, or receiving them from outside the United States, you might as well count on your phone call being listened to for up to a month, which is their period they have where they don't even have to get a warrant for the first month.
Right.
So there's exactly zero oversight for the first month. All they need to do is decide that they could tell somebody that whatever phone call you placed or received came from somewhere which had something to do with terrorism.
And of course, this goes part and parcel with that video that the guy put out. You're never supposed to talk to the police, and here you are talking directly to. Well, let me tell you one of the things that
in fact, in Florida, in Lee County. They're installing custom-made cameras and fire hydrants on exit signs of apartment buildings.
Yeah, we talked about the
cars and all that stuff.
I don't remember that one.
The surreptitious cameras.
For your own protection. Everything's for your own protection.
Yeah. They were in, like, park bench and stuff like that, you know, so they could see. Look, I'm telling you, this whole thing's ramped up because of the war on drugs, really.
Well, it started, but now it's the war on terror.
Well, yeah. It's...
I mean, that's really...
Yeah,
that's
the police
really,
accepted
That's the exception. Yeah. That's the thing. Now, not enough to have the war on drugs. They needed to have another one so they could increase the surveillance on us.
Because terror is on everyone.
Like here in Cape Coral, police accepted a $50,000 grant from the Department of Homeland Security to purchase a video detective. It's capable of recording audio, video, and stills from blocks away and can clean up images and sound recordings turned in as evidence.
Well, let me tell you, one of the things that is a little scary
now,
about
grainy
this...
Grainy footage of a bank robbery suspect becomes as clear as a yearbook photo.
It keeps going out of my mind, for God's sakes. I'll tell you what it is. It reminds me, we sit there and say, look, think about all of your phone conversations and all of your mails being opened up, but you know how quickly when you get into an environment, you forget that. I mean, you literally... If you are filming people, let's say you go into a room, let's say you go to a party, and you say, we're going to film this party. You tell people, we're going to film this party. Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, and you tell them, we've got microphones, we've got cameras.
5 minutes, somebody's saying.
5 minutes, and they just totally forget. I mean, they will go off and say all the crazy stuff in the world, in spite of the fact that you warned. I bet you could even have signs up on the wall that would say, warning. You may be videotaped or, you know, sound devices on, and people would still forget in the heat of the moment when they're talking to somebody and would say, believe me, incriminating stuff. So
stuff like, I'd like to cut his
nuts
N-word.
I'd like to cut his nuts off. Yeah, I mean, yes, literally. I mean, can you imagine? That is one of those things that some people say in comedy, there's always a grain of truth and so forth and so on. But these guys, Reverend Jackson, of course, Jesse Jackson and so forth, have got to have every single night on the news, they have got to have drilled into them that there are always live mics. Everything that they say can be will be on YouTube, re-recorded, still do it.
Right. Well, and as a reminder, you know that unless you take the battery out of your cell phone currently, they can turn it on and use it as a bug.
Right.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember?
I thought that was just Snopes.
It and it came back true.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Snopes is false, which is possible. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean.
I've got an old cell phone, so I don't
know. Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, I mean, stuff like some of that older technology is going to become, it's got to be a little piece of software at least in there.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I'm sure you could have a phone from 10 years ago that just doesn't have the capacity.
Well, 10 years ago is your analog.
Yeah.
You got to go digital, but even so.
And they do keep changing the formats. I mean, I keep having to upgrade phones. If I go in there, they say, well, we can't give you an old phone.
Right,
my phone
is so old that, I doubt if they can turn mine on, so it doesn't really matter.
That's one of those big World War II ones with the antenna on it, right?
Yeah,
right.
No, it has tubes.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's a phone, it's a car in the phone.
Yeah, that's right.
No, seriously, the more strict that they get with this, the more those other options will pop back up.
Right.
To me, it'll be worth it. I mean, literally, I have a computer that's totally not connected to the internet.
Right.
Like, cannot be connected
right.
to the internet.
Right.
It doesn't have the connection.
Right.
And to me, that's going to be valuable because, it won't be too long. They'll be able to do that kind of stuff. You know,
right.
just reach into your computer and,
they can already do it, of course. It doesn't take much with malicious shareware, malicious software, to be able to control somebody's computer already. I mean, to anybody who is not really aware of what's going on, I mean, you don't have to open up many attachments on a PC, especially not so much a Mac, but on a PC, before they could literally take control of your computer.
Well, now we've talked about. You were just talking about how it's amazing how these people could go through decades of interviews and not realize that there's live mics everywhere.
Right,
but. We got to remember that decades ago, there weren't that many live mics in the room, and the mics right. weren't that sensitive.
Right.
And now, these days, the mics are so cheap. I mean, somebody's lapel mic is just sitting on the desk. It's activated because it's wireless, and it's cranked into, you know, somebody's PC.
And it comes on because there's so a sound.
Right. I mean, exactly. So that kind of stuff has really come a long way and changed a great deal. And that's what we've talked about before in terms of perfect enforcement, like these cameras spotting people from two blocks away. There's going to be a lot of people going down when they weren't just even last year. And I'll give you another example. I don't know if anybody's been watching the Tour de France
or
Tour de Dope or whatever it is. I mean, what's happened is the detection systems have become so sophisticated.
Right.
You know, all of those bikers, for those of you who don't know, the tour in the last 2 years have just been marred by people getting busted for cheating, quote unquote, using performance enhancing substances.
Right.
Like Wheaties. No, like other people's blood and stuff
right.
like that.
Or their own blood.
Or their own blood or, you know, different parts of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And so now that their detection practices are so refined that you know that those top athletes were told when they took that stuff, hey, don't worry, they won't be able to detect this.
Right.
Because they know they got to get tested every day.
Right.
And so they're taking something they think is not going to get detected,
right.
and yet it is.
Right.
And so
it's like an arms race, you know. Exactly. The detection goes up a notch, and then the new doping or whatever goes up a notch and so forth. I mean, it's funny to watch. You know what? Of course, there's big bucks involved, so that's what it is. That's the market system.
I mean, I say let them... Man, they let them
dope the crap out of them. As far as I'm concerned, I don't, you know, steroid them to death.
Well, you know,
the nice thing about overdoing steroids is they're not going to reproduce.
They're in charge of their own bodies, and if they come up with a good concoction and a good mix of Wheaties and morning exercise, which would kill most people, and happens to include steroids or whatever, then we'll know if some of those people kick off. You know, don't eat that many Wheaties in the morning, or don't bike for that long, or don't take this kind of steroids or whatever.
I did think it is kind of interesting to watch that thing. What are they on, stage 12 or 13?
Something like that, yeah.
And it is, of course, we talked about this a little last year. I didn't realize that the Peloton, which is, you know, like 1,000 people or something.
No, I saw like 200 or
200 people, but I mean, they all cross the line at the same time, even though they're stretched out for a mile.
Right, right. Well, that's so that there's not infighting. If you're with the group, if your wheel is crossing the other guy's wheel in front or behind of you, then you're considered part of the same group and you get the same time.
Yeah, well, it is interesting to see, though, the chase people and, you know, but now that brought up something I was talking with somebody about this. I'm going to digress now. Because I'm, unless you have something else you want to say.
No, well, we can digress for a second, then we'll take a break.
Okay, good. I do want to talk about, speaking with somebody about energy, which is always one of the things, because it's the global warming and so forth, has to do with what kind of energy does, if you have a three people, let's say, out in front in the Tour de France. One guy's out in front, and it turns out he's doing 62% of the work or something, and the two guys in back are each doing 19. That was what was showed up on TV.
Right.
And I was telling somebody, I said, you know, the deal is that that you've got to take those people as a group, and when a person is not in the group, you know, if they go off to one side, say, for instance, then in order to keep up the same speed, the two people that are left, it seems to me, have to work harder. Because one person, the third person, was contributing 19% of the energy to the you know, the mass times the acceleration.
Well, but once you factor in, I mean, that's of the speed that they're going.
Right.
And so once the guy breaks off, he's got to do 100% of his work.
Right.
And so, yeah, the other people now are doing 60 and 40.
Right.
And so, yeah, one of them is doing more work, but together they're still only doing, each one is doing, one's doing 60, one's doing 40, and the other guy's doing 100.
Well, I was talking to somebody about how much rest you get by doing the drafting.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't quite believe me.
No, I didn't believe it either. When I first saw the tour, it took me several days of watching the tour to understand what they meant. For example, a group of riders will be riding along, and two or three guys will jump off the front of the group, and they'll ride away from the pack.
Right.
And the announcer will say, "Well, this pack's not worried about those guys."
Yeah. No, I mean they could be minutes ahead.
I mean,
5 or 10 minutes ahead, and they said, "Well, the pack's going to catch up."
Right. And it's because the overall speed of the pack, because they can divide up the work a little bit.
Right. That's a lot.
Yeah. And so, you know, they can haul ass and catch those guys, and it's just, it's amazing the strategy that goes into it after you watch.
Well, that's why it's a team effort. I mean, you look at those guys. I mean, some of those teams are like 15 and 20 people.
Well, they're all nine.
Oh, they are. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
you can't have 10,000 people on your team. You know? I got three guys. They got 10,000.
What you need is one guy on the side of the road on your team.
A couple of
with a broomstick.
Right.
That's all you need. Have you watched those people? Have you seen all the shit that they wave in front of these guys? There was this one I saw where they were going through this road in this town that literally was not, I don't think it was 8 feet wide, and the Peloton was coming through. I mean, the Peloton is like 200 cyclists, you know, it's 30 feet wide and half a mile long.
It gets real thin.
Right? It gets real thin in a hurry.
Squeeze.
I mean, can you imagine? I'm surprised that they're not more smash-up wrecks, everything. I mean,
these are the professionals, man.
You can say what you want, but I mean, you can be professional all you want.
Well, they wipe out. They bash all the time, man.
Hit that dog.
Well, they don't. Let me put it this way.
God, that was a great video.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, that you with all of this following and everything, when they have a crash on the stock car circuit, of course, they show it over and over. And, oh, yeah, you think there was the whole race. But I watched the Tour de France, and I don't remember seeing maybe one.
Oh, pretty much every day there's some crash, whether it's just one person.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have thought that like 30 or 40 would go down at a time.
Well,
like,
also, they've taken a lot of consideration into making the race so that doesn't happen. And let me give you an example. They've, at the end of each stage, they've tried not to have, for example, an L turn in the last 50 yards on like some wet bricks.
Right.
I mean, you know,
good move.
Right. You know,
freshly epoxied six.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things. I mean, when they define the race, they plot all that stuff out and try to make it so that when there's an L turn, that right before that, there's a long stretch and everybody can stretch out a bit and get, you know.
Right. Well,
so,
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a golf, like doing a golf course. Okay, we're going to take a break.
Woo!
Sounds good to me.
Okay, me too. Food time. Oh, yeah.
All right. Gorgeous Engineer Eric, thank you for listening to part one of the July 18th, 2008 Jimmy Doan Show. For part two, you can go to jimmydoan.com, iTunes, your favorite podcast
toes, accused of hit and run. Tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam.